It's very important that you watch this all the way, not only to the end of the message, but to the very end of the program itself. Will Jews eventually leave New York in America? Now, let me begin by saying this. I am not involved in politics. My lane is taking Bible prophecy and taking the scriptures and teaching practical application and prophetic truth. But sometimes you have to talk about nations or you have to talk about leaders in order to make people understand the parallels and the patterns of history that are repeating themselves. For example, I have always used historic patterns related to the United States government. America has a spiritual link similar to ancient Israel, and we have a political link similar to ancient Rome. Ancient Israel had 13 tribes. We had 13 colonies. They crossed the sea to get to the promised land. Our founders crossed the sea to get to their promised land. They were divided between the north and the southern kingdoms. We were divided between the north and the south. And when it comes to Rome, or what we call the ancient Roman Empire, or the Roman Republic, there are so many patterns with that that it would take me probably about 20 minutes to give all of them to you. Now, one of the other things I do is I use historic patterns as it relates to leaders who are raised up in the United States, including our presidents. I've used historic patterns recently when it related to President Trump and Grover Cleveland. If you have my book that dealt with the American apocalyptic reset, I talked about in 2021 how Harris would run against Trump, but that had Trump, how Trump had the patterns of a former president who was elected for 4 years, who lost his office for 4 years, did not win election, but was reelected after a second term with a four-year gap with another president that came in instead of him. And it was Grover Cleveland. Now, let me just run through this for those of you that did not see my YouTube teaching on this. Cleveland was elected as the 22nd president. He lost and was reelected as the 24th president. He was first elected March the 4th, 1885, and then he lost that. And he was reelected in March 4th of 1893 to March 4th of 1897. So my point is that there was parallels with Grover Cleveland and Donald Trump. Here's what they are. His father was a Presbyterian minister, and so was he. We're talking about Cleveland now. He was raised in New York. He was known for his focus on tasks and getting them done. He was married to a wife that was 21 years younger than him, all right? And as a matter of fact, he did not like government giving, he didn't like the government giving out, this is Cleveland now, giving out money to people who would not work. He vetoed spending bills that he thought were fraudulent. He won the popular vote, but he lost the Electoral College to Benjamin Harrison. Now, that was when we're talking about Grover Cleveland during the first election. And then 4 years, there was a Great Depression in America, foreclosures, unemployment, dealing with the Treasury. Grover Cleveland dealt with silver and gold reserves, and I'm really chopping this up because I'm trying to get to my main point in a moment. But the Trump parallels with Cleveland are as follows. Trump was a Presbyterian like Cleveland. He came from New York like Grover Cleveland. He was very focused on getting things done like Grover Cleveland. He is 24 years older than his wife, and I think Cleveland, I said a moment ago, was 24. Cleveland was 27 years difference older than his wife, so there's a parallel there. He wanted people to work and not throw money from the government. He turned down some spending bills. Both have six letters in their name. We could go on and on. So my point is, that's what I do. I try to take information from early history, whether it be ancient history or modern history, and then I try to show you how it's going to repeat itself in the last days. Now, here's where the whole story begins. The whole story actually begins with the return of the Jews from the nations. In 70 AD, Jerusalem was destroyed. The Jewish people were taken captive to the nations, and they were actually scattered, and they were known as the lost tribes of Israel. But God predicted that at the time of the end, he would bring the Jewish people back to Israel, by the way, which did not exist before 1948, and he would bring them back to their original land. Let's read some verses here. Therefore, behold, the days come, says the Lord, that it shall no more be said that the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, but the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and all of the lands where he had driven them, for I will bring them back to their land which I gave to their fathers. Jeremiah 16, 14 through 15. Now, a second verse I'd like for you to look at is found in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 5 and 6. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants, these are Jewish people, from the east, gather you from the west. Now, that's what I'm going to talk about in a moment. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Then it says in Isaiah 49, verse 12, behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Now, abbreviating this, you have the east, the south, the north, and the west. Now, when we look at a map, we can see that the east, and it has to be east from the nation of Israel. That's the center point. If we go east, we have Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pakistan. And Jews have come out of those nations many years ago to return to Israel after 1948. The south would be Egypt, Sudan, and Ethiopia. The Ethiopian Jews returned to Israel years ago. The Sudan Jews came out of the Sudan. Some came out of Egypt. So that has happened. The north, of course, would be Lebanon, Syria, Turkey, and Russia. And we all know that there has been this amazing number of Jews, hundreds and hundreds of thousands that have come from Russia. They're called Russian Jews, that many of them have returned back to Israel where they have settled in the land. The same was true with Syria and also the areas of Turkey. Now, when we talk about the west and we look at a map from where Israel is located and we go west, this would include the countries of Spain, France, and England. Now, there have been Jews, of course, that live in Spain, live in France, and live in England to this day. So many of them that have businesses or they were from there for many years continue to live in these countries because they have prosperity. Maybe they are jewelers or bankers, or maybe they are business owners, corporate owners, etc. So many of them still live in Spain, France, and England. Some have returned to Israel, but not the numbers that came from Germany and Austria and Poland and those countries after the Holocaust. Then we have the West. Now, at the time of the end, the Western country would be Canada, and it's predominantly the United States. United States would be the key country. Now, this is what I want to get to, and this is what's very important about this message. There are 7.5 million to 8.6 million Jews living in America. Many of them live in our major cities. In New York City, there are about 1.3. Now, this is the estimate. 1 million is the average that you find, but 1.3 million at the most Jews that live in New York City. Now, Jews do not think alike, just like all Christian denominations have different beliefs. Just like in the Gentile nations, there are religious people and non-religious people. Just like in the Gentile nations, there are religious people, but then there are agnostic and atheist and people that are very, what we would call, liberal. New York City is the same way. Among the Jewish population, many of the Jewish people in New York are liberal, or they're socialist leaning, or they are just non-religious. However, in Brooklyn, you have 300,000 Orthodox Jews. Now, the Orthodox Jews, you recognize them, of course, because they wear the dark outfits. They wear the dark hats. There's two different groups. One wears a fur-type looking hat, and the others wear just what is a normal black hat. Most of them have beards, and they have, I call them, there's a different word for it, but I call it the curls that come down the side of the face. They don't shave their hair there. So you see them, and you know that they're the Orthodox community. You have the ultra-Orthodox, and you have the Orthodox, and you have two different groups among them. And that goes into more detail than I'd like. So let's stick to New York. New York City is predominantly Democrat politically. And I think the state may be, if I'm not mistaken, if I recall, about 65% that vote Democrat. So it is not a state that normally leans toward what we call Republican, although there are Republican people that live in the city. And there are many Jews in New York, by the way, who are Republican. But the majority, I think, of the actual Jewish population would vote Democrat. Now, here's the question. God said in His Word that the Jews were going to come from the West. Now, again, the West would be the closest nations to Israel in the West would be Spain, would be France, would be the UK. Now, the UK has Muslim leaders, and you see Muslims praying in the streets. So there are Jews that have been discussing leaving the UK because they feel like there's a large rise of anti-Semitism coming in parts of Europe, and especially in Western Europe. France is included in that group. of people, of Jewish people, some now, not all, some that have talked about leaving. What would force the Jews, however, in America, let's say New York City, where the predominant number of Jews live, to leave the city and go to Israel? Now, I'm going to just share with you some of the things that I have discussed with Jewish people. First of all would be the leadership. Who is in charge of the city? If anti-Semitism begins to rise very heavy and Jews begin to be attacked in the area of New York City and in the vicinity there, then it would cause many of them to say, you know what, it's not safe for us to live here anymore. And a lot of people say that would never happen in America. It's already happening in our universities in America. So don't say it can't happen here, because people's heart is where the problem is. It's a spiritual heart problem. Number two is the high rise of taxes. This would not be just the Jewish people. These would be business people that would actually leave the state. But that wouldn't necessarily mean if they leave the state and go to Florida, Texas, or Tennessee because of high taxes, that doesn't mean they've left America. God says, I will bring them from the west in several prophecies. So this has to happen. Jews have returned from the north and the south and the east, but most of them have stayed where they are in the west. So persecution by other groups, including other religious groups, could cause some, not all of course, but some, to leave from the West. Then there could be an economic collapse, and this is probably a very high probability. With the introduction of artificial intelligence and with what we see taking place in the nations with job losses, which are going to be horrendous by 2028 to 2030, a huge economic collapse that could come to the economic center of the world, which, by the way, is New York City and Wall Street, could cause many of the Jewish people to leave. The third thing that could cause many of the Jewish people to leave from New York, and it wouldn't just be Jewish people if this began to happen, it would be other people as well, because when 9/11 happened and the terrorist attacks hit the World Trade Center, many who worked in the World Trade Center moved to other parts of the country. I've met people in Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, and Texas, Louisiana, that literally left New York and because they said, you know, this is becoming too dangerous, and they moved to other states in the United States. So anytime you have major terrorist attacks, which were similar to 9/11, which may involve nuclear power, power plants where the electricity goes off, people will say to themselves, it is not safe to live here. Then there's going to be high crime. You have high crime, which is included not as a part of the terrorist attack, but if police are defunded, police are limited in their arrest, then you have a city that, can I be honest with you, ends up being controlled by gangs and mobs, which if it does not become safe or becomes totally unsafe and unprotected, would cause people to leave and could cause the Jewish people, the Jewish population to leave. Now, here's a really key point that a lot of people don't understand, that the majority of Jewish people that I've met who are religious in some form, they could be Reformed Jews, they could be Orthodox Jews. I don't know as many Orthodox Jews as I do Reformed Jews, etc., because there's four different levels of religious Jews that exist on an average. But there are Jewish people who are religious that believe the Mashiach or the Messiah is going to appear based on the scriptures. He will appear in Israel. And if the Orthodox community, and I know this for a fact, going back to a leader in the Orthodox community in New York named Menachem Schneerson, and if anybody is watching me from New York that is Jewish, you will know who that was. He was an Orthodox rabbi that some believe could be the Messiah. And I was in Israel when they told me, several of the rabbis told me in Israel that Schneerson could, I'm going to get his name right in a minute, I'm getting tongue-tied, could actually stay in New York and control the election who would win in Israel. And he never had been to Israel in his life. And they were building him a house, and I saw it after my Jewish guy took me to, not inside the house, but to the house they were building for the rabbi from New York, but he passed away before he was ever able to live there. My point is that if the Orthodox believe that a man has arrived in the Middle East that is Jewish, who they believe could be a Messiah, a Mashiach of Israel, because most of the Orthodox believe that there's two different Messiahs. One, Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef, which is the Messiah son of David, and the Messiah son of Joseph. One will suffer in the war of Gog and Magog, and one will come and direct the nation of Israel to a superpower. So that's another area. So there's several things that could actually happen in New York York or in America, as far as that's concerned, that would cause the more religious Jews to leave and some other devout Jews to leave, to either go back to Israel or leave the United States. So I want you to know, this is my point, that God has said in His Word, He will bring the Jews from the West. That is the last area that the Jewish people have to return from. It hasn't fully happened yet, and it will happen somewhere in the future. Now, another area that's very important is people are talking about in the United States how that they are going to eventually have some type of a tattoo on the hand or a tattoo on the forehead, because some people don't have hands, and you will be able to scan that tattoo for buying and selling. Now, that's similar to what you read about in Revelation chapter 13, the mark of the beast. Others have talked about an AI system of buying and selling, and so Orthodox Jews would never put marks on their skin of any kind. They are forbidden to do so based on Leviticus 19:28. That's why you'll never see an Orthodox Jew with tattoos on, all right? So once again, there's 300,000 Orthodox Jews living in New York. What if New York comes along and says, well, we're gonna have a tattoo put on your skin? Well, here's the verse the Orthodox Jews would use, because they're very strong in the Torah, the five books of Moses. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. So this is why they refuse tattoos. This is why they refuse to worship any kind of an image that would be considered idolatry. And they refuse to place any kind of marking on their skin. So my point is, if you look at Revelation 13, the Jewish people who are religious, like the Orthodox, would not accept the mark of the beast on the right hand or forehead. And that might be why, oh, this is very important, you hear this, that might be why that when you read the book of Revelation, you discover that there are 144,000 Jews, 12,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel, that the two prophets that will appear during the first part of the tribulation, whom I believe, and there's some differences of opinions here on this, but I believe one is Elijah, and most scholars would agree that Elijah comes before the great and terrible day of the Lord, based on the last verse of Malachi chapter 5. But if you look at the book of Malachi, for example, and you chapter 4, chapter 5, you'll find it there. If you look at there, there's Elijah will come before the great and terrible day of the Lord, which is the greater part of the tribulation. And in the first 42 months of the tribulation, in Revelation chapter 11, there are two prophets. They call fire down from out of heaven. The fear comes upon people because of them. They preach to the 144,000 Jews. So the 144,000 Jews that are sealed by a seal of God supernaturally, that refuse to accept the mark of the beast, would be, in my opinion, the Orthodox Jewish community, who now see that Elijah the prophet has come and is introducing to them the message of the Messiah. In this case, reading the New Testament book of Revelation, the Mashiach or the Messiah is Christ, is Jesus, and that's who they will be preaching. But there will be a faith that will come in these men, because the two prophets are going to do supernatural miracles. I mean, they can do miracles and bring fear to the entire world, and they continue the first 42 months. So if the Jewish people were to see, and I'm talking about now specifically the Orthodox Jewish segment of the Jewish community, if the Orthodox Jewish community were to see someone that they believe was Elijah, that's what would cause all of them to return to the nation of Israel. And someone says, well, do they believe that Elijah's coming? And the answer is yes. And a lot of Gentile people don't know this, but when you celebrate the Jewish Passover, something very unusual happens. And that is that there's four cups used at a Jewish Passover table. And I don't have time to get into what each cup represents. But there's a fourth cup, and one of these cups is connected to the prophet Elijah. So they take that cup, and they usually send, and this can be done different ways in different Orthodox communities. Well, basically, the Orthodox keep it the same, but different Jewish communities. Many times, they will send a child to the front door to see if they see Elijah outside heralding the coming of the Messiah. So this is a tradition that is celebrated in the time, it's celebrated today, but they are looking for the prophet Elijah to come. And the reason they are is that the Orthodox community basically believes in the Torah, mostly the Torah, but they also believe in what we call the prophets. So the last prophet in our Bible in order is Malachi. That is not that way among the Orthodox, but Malachi was believed to be one of the last prophets, not according to Christian tradition or Christian belief, but the Orthodox belief. So Elijah comes to announce that the Messiah is coming. So this is very, very important that you understand. So when you read about the 144,000 in the tribulation, they are introduced the message of the Messiah and the seal of God by the prophet Elijah. Malachi mentions that, I think it's 4 and 5. And then you have Revelation chapter 11. You got to tie those together. So that would cause all the Jews in the world that were religious and devout, if they're living in the West or outside of Israel, to suddenly go back to Israel and to return to Israel because the appearance of Elijah has come. So Elijah the prophet, who was never died, who was translated alive into heaven in 2 Kings chapter 2, will reappear on the earth during the first 42 months of the tribulation. And several of the early church fathers actually indicated that Elijah and possibly Enoch, probably Enoch because Enoch never died also, Elijah and Enoch have to come back. So what I'm trying to say to you is the Jewish community, especially among the Orthodox, will eventually leave New York. But the question is, what will cause it? When will it be? And it may not actually occur until they see the appearance of the prophet Elijah and they recognize who he is the first 42 months of the tribulation period. But nonetheless, God's word will be fulfilled. Something will happen in America. Something will happen in New York City. Not sure what it'll be, but it could be a number of things, and it will cause many of the devout Jews. I'm not saying the atheistic or the agnostic. I don't know what they would do, but the devout Jews or religious Jews to leave New York. All right. Now that's a lot of information in this message. I want you to watch this several times to get the scriptures and to glean from what we've shared with you. And I have an absolute fabulous book offer, and it won't be up forever. So go and get this right now, the prophetic alert.
Perry Stone is now making available his new landmark book, Prophetic Alert. Stunning new insights reveal what is coming soon, which explores and explains numerous often unknown and untaught prophetic triggers that will lead to the rapture and the future Great Tribulation. Here are some of the 20 chapters: Ezekiel's War and the Rapture Link, the confusion over who is Gog of Magog, God versus Gog, Big Hooks and Little Jaws, How Can the Antichrist Overpower a Militarily Armed Israel, Iran, Land of the Assassins and the Gate of the Gods, The Spirit of Cain in the Land of the East, Satan's Main Principality Ruling in Middle East Nations, The Coming Angelic Cosmic Wrestling Match, Why Do Many Muslims Dislike the Jews and Israel, The Prophetic Vision of the Serpent in Gaza, When the Abyss Releases the Destroying Angel, Kings of the East and 1.5 Billion Hindus in Prophecy, When a Dead Head Rises Again, God's Four Weapons of Destruction that are Coming. Does the Bible hint at a nuclear war? You will learn great prophetic insight from these chapters and more. When you order the Prophetic Alert book with your gift of $25 or more, Perry will also select and include in this offer a mystery CD, a surprise audio message on CD. To order, visit perrystone.org or call toll-free 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323. Or write to Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320. When writing, include your payment and offer number AB151. This is a very timely and important prophetic read for every Christian and all who love Bible prophecy. Your purchase is what helps keep Manifest on the air worldwide. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
I want you to listen to me very carefully for the next few moments because this is very special. Before we talk about anything else, let me mention this is the last week on Manifest that you can get the brand new book that we wrote called Prophetic Alert. And I was just looking, there's one chapter in here that deals with the Ezekiel War of Ezekiel 38 and 39 in one verse that is a rapture link verse. And that'll be in the book. So if you've not got the book, go ahead and mark it, put an order in, call, go online and do that as soon as possible. Now, the other thing I want to tell you very quickly is as you get to the first of this year, there's going to be registration open for Warrior Fest, which is our big youth event. And if you're coming with a youth group from a church, let your youth pastor who's heading up the group register the entire group. If you're coming with your mother and father, or let's say someone in the family is bringing you, or there's someone that's going to drive a small group, get together and let them register for you. If you're coming by yourself, register your own name by yourself at perrystone.org, Warrior Fest. There is no fee to attend. There is no registration fee. This is a free event. But we have to register to know how to plan for Warrior Fest. Then, we also have the registration for the International Prophetic Summit. Let's show a picture, if we have that, of everybody that's coming to the summit. This is going to be the biggest summit we've had in the history of the ministry. Rick Renner is coming in. Jeremiah Johnson's coming. Brian Cutshaw's there, plus are some of our regular speakers, Jonathan Kahn. And once again, this will open up at the first of the year. And we ask you, don't register just thinking, well, honey, we might go. Let's register. That gives us a false registration. And if you can't come, it takes somebody's seat that would have come. Only register when you know you've got the room and you know you can come. And please do that. Now, here's the other thing I want to tell you very quickly. And that is mark February 15th. On February 15th, which is a Sunday, Bill Cloud and I are coming into this studio, and we are doing a very special pay-per-view event. Now, this is important. People ask me all the time, well, why do you do that? Number one, we have to pay expenses to get this done. It starts Sunday at 3 till 9 o'clock. I have team people here on cameras. I have engineers here, and it's on a Sunday, okay? So more people can watch it. But here's the other thing, that not only does it help our ministry to continue to do what we're doing around the world at this time, but there are things that I will never ever share on YouTube. I will never share on Manifest, that we will share at this time, because we will put it on our servers. It will not be on a server owned by somebody else. It will be done through our systems. And because of that, we can control what is said. Number two, if I put it out there just as is, then there have been television stations attacked because of not just my preaching, I'm not saying that, but other people's preaching, Christian stations outside the United States. I am not going to risk our brothers and sisters suffering outside the United States just because people in America want you to say things so they can hear it. So this is a special event. You'll be hearing about this the first of the year. Plan on being a part of it. My time's up. We'll see you next week.
Perry Stone invites you to join him for his 2026 Israel tour. The dates are May 12th through the 21st. There is also an optional tour to the country of Jordan that includes Petra and much more. For more information and how to register, scan the QR code on the screen or visit perrystone.org. Seating is limited, so contact us today.